If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope that you do, I want you to turn to a couple of passages of Scripture. We're going to take a look at a message that you can see there in your outline, and I would encourage you to take that outline out. But America, the once God-blessed nation. America, the once God-blessed nation. Are we still blessed today? Are we still a God-blessed nation? And I want us to take a look at two passages of Scripture. First of all, we're going to look at Romans chapter 1. Paul writing to the Romans, way back in somewhere around 57-58 A.D., he penned this letter to the church of Rome. And as I read a portion of this, I want to encourage you, not only as I read this, but then we're going to look at the Psalm in just a minute, Psalm 33. A.D. 57-58, Paul penned this letter. As I read this, I want you to imagine, is there any correlation between then, what Paul was writing, the living Word of God, to where we are on July 2nd, 2023? You see, there's a consistency. There's a consistency in Scripture, all the way back from Genesis until Revelation when God comes back for His people. So read along with me, if you will, and I want to pick this up. You know, this nation is 246 years old on Thursday. So 38 odd years after Paul wrote this, I would submit to you it's still applicable. Not only applicable, but it's something that ought to get our attention today. So read along with me. Romans chapter 1. And let me pick it up in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, are you catching here? Are you catching this? There's something, there's a theme here. Righteousness. God's talking about righteousness. God's talking about honor. And God is talking about giving them up. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. Heavenly Father God, for these few moments, would you open our hearts today? We're in trouble. We're in trouble as a nation, and a nation means individuals. Means individuals. Your churches are in trouble today, Lord. That means not the buildings. It means individuals. God, on this day where we celebrate the independence that you have given to this nation, the nation that you created, one nation under God, Lord, help us to see, help us to hear. Help us to turn from our wicked ways and turn back to you and cry out in Jesus Christ's holy name for you to save us once again. And we pray these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Some of you may have seen, I find it ironic that for presidents, we have a President's Day, one day to celebrate our presidents. For those who, since 1776 and even before that, gave their lives so that we could have this freedom, so that God could use them, not only to give us this freedom on the battlefields, but to secure this freedom as a legacy. We honor those who have fallen and those who have been wounded and carry those scars for their remaining life here. We give them one day. But we just finished celebrating giving homosexual people and pride people, and we call it pride. We give them a month to honor something that God says beyond a shadow of a doubt, according to His Word, is abominable. It is time for America, for you and me, as Christians, to stand up. It's all around us now. And in fact, some of you may have seen that group of activists in New York City last week at their annual drag queen parade. What was their chant? Remember what their chant was? We're coming after your children. If that doesn't set you on fire, they're coming after your children. Who's going to defend our children if we don't stand on the Word of God? A few weeks ago, the Los Angeles Dodgers, they honored a sick, hateful group called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And they are a hate group that is designed to show contempt to thousands of women all over the world. Their contempt because of their religiosity and contempt of the Catholic faith, the Catholic Church, if you will. You know, it's time for those of us who love America, and there's not a person in here who doesn't love America. Many of you have sacrificed for America, and if you haven't sacrificed, everyone else here has prayed for those who are sacrificing. So we love America. But there are some of us who don't love America the way it is today. And as long as God does not send His Son for His church, we still have hope. And so that's what I want to encourage us this morning. We still have hope if we do those things that God asks us to do. You know, one of the greatest blessings that God has graciously given America is our spiritual blessings. Just think about it. It's not the wealth. That's wonderful. It's not the riches. It's the spiritual blessings. That no matter where you are, no matter how old you are, no matter what you have done in your early years or beyond, or even doing right now, God says, I give you a spiritual blessing that right now I will forgive you. I will forgive you of the most horrible sin that you could even think about. I will forgive you if you'll just ask me, if you'll just accept what my Son, Jesus Christ, did on the cross for you. One of the greatest spiritual blessings is being done right now. The gospel is being promulgated here in this church, and it's going to be promulgated on Facebook or YouTube. It's going to be promulgated as it is right now all over America today, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what this is about. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's to get people to see and to wake up to the circumstances of their life. And yet we know that the anti-God philosophies are just penetrating this nation. They're not only penetrating the nation, they're penetrating the world. The worldview, not God's view, the worldview is penetrating our schools, it's penetrating our businesses, it's penetrating our athletics, it's penetrating everything today. And so this is a time, and I would ask again, America, the once God blessed nation, is God going to bless you? Is he going to bless me? Is he going to bless again? Sharing with someone, or someone was asking me a question this morning about the message, and I said, you know, it's not about me. It's about those children over there. Those children. That's what it's about. 100 years from now, hey, I may not be here 2 years from now. You're not going to be 100 years from now. But guess what? What's our legacy that we're leaving? Someone asked me this morning, do you think that they will ever experience what we experienced in our life? The blessings that we had in our life. I still remember July 4th when I was a kid. You know why I remember that? Because I would get a cap gun. I would get a new cap gun. And I could play cowboys and Indians with my cap gun. And everything was wonderful. Where are we today? Well, I want us to look at several things here, and they're in your outline there. First of all, I want to look at God's blessings of America. Just very quickly, God's blessings, just a reminder of the blessings of America. And then I want to look at what has been America's response to God's blessing. Blessing us as the greatest nation that he ever created. And then I want us to look finally at the Christian's response to what I believe is a disintegrating nation. I believe that we are imploding. You've heard me say this many times. There is no nation on God's green earth that can take America down militarily. But then as we look at the reality today, they don't have to do that. They can do those things so that we will implode ourselves. And I believe that's what's happening to America today. So let's take a look at... I am just so absolutely convinced that God is, and I'll put it lightly, is more than displeased with America today. More than displeased. And so I want us to take a look at this. I want us to consider the truth of God's blessings that he poured down upon us. Number one, we have a godly heritage. We just sang about it. We have a godly heritage, blessed by intellectual, spiritual giants throughout our history. Those such as Jonathan Edwards, those such as George Whitefield and John Wesley and Charles Finney, R.A. Torrey, and Billy Graham. Which, incidentally, if you go back and look at our spiritual history, you will see that God always provided. When one evangelist was going off the scene, there was another evangelist that came on the scene and took his place. I want to ask you this morning, where's the evangelist that took Billy Graham's place? Is there an evangelist to bring this world back to Christ? This nation back to Christ? Is he out there on the horizon? You know, 52 of the 55 original signers of the Constitution were Christians. 52 of the 55. of the founding fathers that signed that Constitution were Christians. And they established, don't let anybody else tell you, they established this nation of America as a Judeo-Christian nation from the very beginning. So we have a godly heritage. We have a land that has been blessed with beautiful, plentiful natural resources. Sing about that as well this morning. We have the beauty of, just the beauty of our sky, the beauty of the grass, the beauty of the birds, the beauty of our beaches, the beauty of our mountains, those high mountains, the beauty of the great plains of this nation. There's just God's beauty all around us here. In the valleys. You ever been to the Shenandoah Valley? You ever been to some of these valleys that are they just take your breath away? The Grand Canyon. Those are blessings from God. Thirdly, there's America has been blessed with the free enterprise system. You know, almost anyone has the opportunity today to become whatever it is that they desire to become. You can take someone and make him the president of the United States. Almost anybody in this nation, unlike other nations of the world, have the opportunity to follow that dream, to bring that dream into being, to be what you and I believe that God may have called us to do. Compared to other nations in this world, we have the highest standard of living of anybody. No one can touch us. Depending on which study or survey you look at, you and I are in, no matter what our economic condition is right now, compared to the rest of the world, we are at the top 2% of the rest of the world in terms of wealth, in terms of resources, in terms of comfort. So yes, we are a blessed free enterprise system. And fourthly, we enjoy the liberty to speak our mind and to worship as we choose. What a privilege that is. What a blessing that is. You can speak your mind. In fact, you can tell me what you really think, and I'll just listen. But we have that privilege. We have that. God said, I'm preaching here this morning, and I can see the doors out there, and I don't see any police coming in here to try to arrest me because I'm preaching the Word of God. What a blessed nation, what a blessed people we are. And while preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, while it offends liberals in our society today, it doesn't offend God. And God takes that word because it is His word, and He touches people. He touches lives. He changes lives. Some from hell, on the road to hell, to heaven. Some from healing a marriage, healing a financial situation. Healing an addiction. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the liberty that He gives for preachers who are standing at this hour and to preach the Word of God and say it's true. It's true. Believe it. It's the Word of God. Those are just a few of God's blessings that He's poured down upon America. But what has our response been as Americans? And, you know, we've taken God's blessings. And I guess a short way to say it is, we've refused to return God's blessings to Him. We just took up an offering. Did we return a portion of God's blessings to Him? I'm not asking you to answer that. That's between you and God. I don't know who tithes. I don't know who gives. I don't know what you do. You know, sometimes it's about money. I had from two authoritative sources this morning tell me, and I was talking about Vacation Bible School that Mark had mentioned, that there are at least a couple of ladies that for several days this week, to include last night, did not leave the church until after midnight working on Vacation Bible School. And yet, we have to plea. These are our children. These are your children. A vacation Bible school, it touches kids' hearts because it's the Word of God. And just a little seed. That's an afterthought. Well, what about America's response? Our response has been the sin of its citizens who are self-centered. I want you to turn back to Genesis chapter 13. Our response has been from the citizens of America who are self-centered, we have sin. And listen to what Genesis, I want you to see this connection here. Genesis chapter 13. Let me pick it up in verse 8. And this is where Abram and Lot have come up from Egypt and they're in the promised land and God's given them an opportunity to choose where it is that they want to move to. And in verse 8 it says, "Then Abraham said to Lot, 'Let there be no strife between you and me and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are all kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left.' And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 11, so Lot chose for himself." That's a very key phrase there. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. And Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom." Isn't that interesting? Lot chose, the Bible says, Lot chose himself. Chose as he looked at all this land where he was going to go. Abram was so gracious. Abram said, "Look, choose. You choose." And the Bible says, and Lot chose for himself. God gives us the ability, God gives us the privilege to choose, but sometimes when we leave God out of it, we suffer the consequences. Well, what were the consequences here? Look at this tremendous insight in verse 13. "Now, the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord." That selfish decision cost Lot dearly. Even cost him his wife, because he didn't consult God. He just saw the beauty. He said, "This really looks good. This is better than this." And we know that sometimes the good is the enemy of God's best. So what's the connection here? As we can see here, the sin of its citizens were self-centered. And let me just say, there's some Christians as well, not just Gentiles, but we are self-centered as a nation. You know, in other words, we live focused on ourselves. We just live focused on myself. Sometimes I got to catch myself because I'm praying for myself. And God says, "I already know what you need. Pray for something that really matters. Pray for those who are hurting. Pray for those who do not have cancer, or that have cancer, or whatever the case, or a financial situation. Pray for those." And don't miss this. Everything that happened to Lot and to Sodom and Gomorrah came unglued. Everything that happens to a nation that turns from God, the Bible shows everything in that nation becomes unglued. Are we a tight-knit, glued nation today? That's a rhetorical question. Are things just falling apart? Are we still amazed every morning that we wake up and hear the news that something else has unraveled? And that's a rhetorical question. So the sin of the citizens who are self-centered has been our response to God. Secondly, the removal of prayer and God's word from our schools. That's how we've responded. You know this. You hear this every 4th of July. The Murray versus the Kirtlett Supreme Court decision ended official Bible reading in the public schools in 1963. And that came 1 year after the Supreme Court prohibited sponsored prayer in schools. How many of you can remember going to elementary school or grade school, and you remember that you began the class with the teacher reading a passage from Scripture, and then it would lead you in the Lord's Prayer? How many of you remember that? Oh, come on, there's some of you as old as I am. Come on. Yeah. Well, that was all gone. They don't do that today because of these Supreme Court decisions. Thirdly, America's response is not only to remove prayer and God's word from the schools, but America legalized, listen to me, America legalized sin that God considers an abomination. Not much explanation that I really need to give on that. The leadership in America, the leadership of our nation, the leadership of our government, the leadership of industry, the leadership of our education system, the leadership of our universities and our colleges, the leadership of Hollywood, of the music industry, all those things have legalized the murder of children. They've legalized it. That's what the big battles are going on now as a result of that Supreme Court decision in Roe versus Wade. Homosexual activities and beyond. There's a new poll that I just saw yesterday that claimed that 30% of American women under the age of 25 identify as homosexual, bisexual, or transgender. And I don't know all those other letters behind those things. They go out, they're probably going out the door there. There's a new letter every day. America has legalized sin. We have allowed sex and violence to dominate our entertainment industry. We're the world's lead exporter on pornography. And we have given our children a thing called a cell phone, where all this comes in. And we say, well, they need it. We have to have communication. Well, pray about that. Think about that. See what that's doing. I know who wants that cell phone. America has said, God, your principles, your word, doesn't mean anything to us anymore. We're going to do it our way. We're going to choose. And this is what we choose to do. And God says, as he said in Paul, as he said in Galatians, I will not be mocked. You will not mock me. You will not turn against what I have created here and what I have given you my informed, accurate, inerrant word so that you can know, so that you will be without excuse. But God, your principles don't matter anymore. Well, what about America? The fourth thing that I would just mention has tolerated liberalism from its spiritual leaders. I mean, look what's happening in our denominations today. The Methodists, the Baptists, I mean, Episcopalians, Presbyterians, they're splitting because there are those who have tolerated the liberalism against the Word of God from spiritual leaders. Now, the way I see it, you can only be influenced by two ways. You're influenced by the Holy Spirit that lives in you, or you're influenced by the world. Well, what I'm saying, there are pastors, and in some case women pastors, that are standing behind the pulpits today, and they are convincing, even though they are, I won't say they're possessed, but they're being influenced by the Satan, to convince you that I'm wrong, that those who believe, such as you or me, we're wrong, and they can take the word of God and they can justify it for what is coming out of their mouth. That God again says, that's an abomination. I created man, I created a woman. And who are you to tell me that I made a mistake? That you think I meant to create a woman when I created a man? I mean, just think of the ridiculousness of this. When you step back from all of it, think of how ridiculous that is. And God says, I will not be mocked. Look at history. Look at the nation of Israel when they turned from me. They wanted a king, I gave them a king. They didn't want King Jesus, I gave them a king. And what happened to them? Where are we today? Religious organizations, they are ordaining and promoting people and actions that are against Scripture. And again, it's unbiblical because God says this is an abomination. I want you to turn real quickly here. Let me pick this up. I want you to turn back here to the Old Testament. Look at Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. And listen to what, and here Jeremiah's talking about the potter and the clay. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 7. And he says, if at any time I declare, and this is God, if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I had intended to do to it. Now therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping, catch this, I am shaping a disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Return every one from his evil way, and amend your ways and your deeds. Yes, he's talking to the nation of Israel in the context of that. But he's also talking to those other nations today, because he's the same God. And so we are experiencing, I believe with all my heart, God's passive wrath. I believe this is where we are today. I believe God has said, okay, you want to do it your way? Go ahead and do it your way. That's your choice. And we're experiencing the passive wrath. But the thing that troubles my heart, and nobody knows, one day that passive wrath is going to turn to an active wrath. He's going to say, I've had enough. And he's coming. Or he's going to bring the hammer down, such as he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. In other words, we may not be currently harvesting all the consequences of our sin, but there is a day coming. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a day coming when we will harvest everything, every seed that we have sowed that has been against God, every seed that we have sown for God, we will harvest that. So what's the Christian response here? The disintegrating nation. Number one, we are to pray for and to be a part of a wholesale spiritual revival. I want to say that again. We're not only to pray, but we're to be a part of this wholesale spiritual renewal What does that mean? It means, God, awaken us. Awaken us to our sin. Doesn't matter if we're a Christian or not. If we are a Christian, God, awaken us. Search my heart and know the sin that's in me. That's what we need to do. We need to cry out to God. America's prosperity stands, listen to me, it stands in the direct path of God's active wrath. That's where we are. Our sin, that we have not repented as a nation, we stand in the direct path of God's active wrath. How much longer will he tolerate our rebellion? You know, scripture is clear, wholesale spiritual renewal. How does that happen? It comes through preaching the Word of God. I'm not saying that because I'm a preacher. I'm saying that because that's what the Word of God says. When the Word of God is preached, people hear that Word of God because God will take that Word of God and he will touch that heart and he will change that life. We have to vote scripture, not what's behind that little letter behind our beliefs, our party. We have to vote. We have to stand up. We have to go to school board meetings. We have to take our kids back from those who think they know more about raising a child than you do. You see, that's what it means to be a Christian today. We have to stand up against the immorality and unrighteous laws that are being generated. And most of all, we have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who are on the road to hell. And tell them, things may look bad now, but there's still hope. And God is just standing there waiting to give you his son, Jesus Christ, so that you can spend eternity, not 100 years later, but 1,000,000 years later. You can spend eternity with those loved ones that preceded you. Those loved ones that were loved enough by someone to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. To volunteer at a vacation Bible school. To take time to introduce God into that precious family. There's a second way we can do this. We must start with a personal repentance and live surrendered lives. We must start with personal repentance. You see, it's about us. It's about us individually. Personal repentance and live surrendered Christ-like lives. We need to live Christ-like lives. I'm talking to myself here. And that's a battle. You know why it's a battle? Because when I try to live a Christ-like life, Satan's right after me. He's after you too. He doesn't want you to live a Christ-like life. He wants you to think everything's cool, everything's good. God's okay. Everything's all right. You're not bad. You're good. That's not what the Bible says. And the remedy for a nation's moral and spiritual woes is to start personal repentance. And where does that begin? It begins right here in the house of God. That's where it begins, right here in the house of God. A family of God? Yes, we are a family of God. The families love each other. Families pray for each other. Families cry with each other. Families tell each other the truth out of love. I want you to turn just very quickly. We're almost out of time, but I want you to go back. This is the one that we always look at this time, but 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And listen to what we usually read verse 14, but let me pick it up in verse 13. Catch this now. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 13. When I, meaning God, shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. Who did he say? Among my people. He's talking to the nation of Israel here, but we are a nation created by God. If my people who are called by name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. All followers of Jesus Christ have a responsibility to live a holy life. You and I, we're not there, but we have this responsibility to continue to be in the Word, to continue to pray, to continue to do those things that God asks us to do, in fact, commands us to do or tells us to do, so that He draws us closer and closer to His Son, Jesus Christ. Not just in terms of intimacy, but in terms of when someone looks at you, we will know you by your love. We are Christians by our love. Laws cannot make people righteous. In fact, Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, no one is justified by works, but we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, this nation cannot be changed by the Supreme Court. It can't be delivered by any president, by any Supreme Court, by any Congress. It can only be delivered by faith in Jesus Christ from His people. Okay, in conclusion, and God will bless America if we, God's people, kneel and discipline ourselves to pray. Yes, I said kneel. Let me kind of qualify that. Let me give you a little out. There are some who cannot kneel. I am finding it more difficult not to kneel. I'm finding it more difficult today to get up. It hurts. And sometimes I need to grab a hold of something. But the intent is our hearts ought to kneel before the Lord and confess that we are sinners saved only by the grace of Jesus Christ. And Father, unless you hear our prayers and turn us from our evil ways, our legacy is a legacy of losing our children. They are coming after our children. And it's not only the perpetual people. There are those in our nation of all industries, they're coming for our children. Listen to what Daniel Webster said. Daniel Webster, an American statesman in the 19th century, said, if we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering. But if we neglect biblical principles and biblical instructions, no man can tell, listen to this, no man can tell how sudden catastrophe will bury all our glory in profound obscurity. You know what I say to that? Sadly, I have to say, amen. The truth is that if we stubbornly persist in evil, God says, I will give you up. And I don't think God's saying, I'm going to give you up. I told you. No, no. I think God is saying with a hurting heart, my son gave it all to you. It's the easiest thing in the world today is to be saved. It's the easiest thing you can do is to be saved by simply asking Jesus to come into your heart and into my heart. And He said, when you do, I won't give you up. Where are you today? I prayed about this message. I pray that you see where we are today. It's not about Republicans. It's not about Democrat. It's about the Word of God. It's about the sin that's in our heart. It's about the ineffectiveness of many of our churches today. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, our Heavenly Father God, Lord, it seems sometimes like such a big mountain. A mountain that cannot be climbed. such a big valley that's so dark that there's no way to penetrate, no way to traverse it. And God, there are so many things that we are doing individually, perhaps, certainly as a nation, God, that is, it's no longer a slippery slope, Lord, it's a cliff that we're about to jump off of. But Father, as long as we, your children, humble ourselves, confess our sin, turn to you and pray, God, there is hope. Father, I pray that if there's one here today or one on our live stream or in the future that hears it, that has never been redeemed, never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today that can happen just like this by simply saying, "Dear Jesus, he's talking about me. Save me, Lord. Save me." And I believe because you see my heart that you have done that. God, I pray for someone who has prayed that prayer, then bring your peace upon them. But God, let them share that with someone. That you have taken them off that road that leads to destruction and put them on that road that 100 years from now we'll be celebrating the presence of Jesus Christ. Father, for someone here today that is in need of prayer, there's a conviction in their heart, God. Don't let them leave from here without resolving that conviction. Maybe a decision that they need to make. Maybe there's someone that needs to come to the altar again. Maybe to lead a spouse, a child, a father, a mother to the altar. To the throne of grace, unmerited favor, for that peace, for that power that we need to continue to live this day, to face physical and emotional challenges, Lord. For someone here today or someone on live stream that's looking for a church home, this is a family of God. Perfect? No. No, we're not perfect, God. But God, I know we love each other. I know we cry with each other. I know we pray for each other. I know we all want to be better than we are. So yeah, this is a family of God, infused with the power of the Holy Spirit. So Father, whatever it is, this is your invitation. On this Independence Day, let no one leave here today that is not saved, that has not done business with you. That the bonds of those things that keep us in prison, God, will be broken. And we pray these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Would you stand as our praise team leads us? And I just want to encourage you. I know you hear this every week, but I want to encourage you. If there's some business to do, do it with God right now.